May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text for this morning comes from our gospel lesson, Matthew chapter 5, and these words from Revelation 14. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. This is our text. You may be seated. Dear saints, on this All Saints Day, the passages from Matthew that make up today's gospel lesson are well known to people of many Christian denominations, I would say, probably even known to some of those who are outside the church. We often refer to them as the Beatitudes. That word comes from Latin and simply means blessed or blessed, if you're like me. I've heard these verses referred to as the B-E space attitudes, the B-attitudes. That is, that these verses describe the attitudes that we're supposed to have, how we are supposed to be, a mindset that we are supposed to strive for, a set of attitudes that we try to put on display for others. But are these words of Jesus really some kind of table of rules that we're supposed to follow? Are they prescriptive? That is, are they telling us that if we act a certain way, certain good things will happen to us, prescribing a certain way of living? Is this a good works and reward system that Jesus is setting up for us? Is he saying, if you are meek, then you will inherit the earth, or if you are merciful, only then will you receive mercy? Is this a list of laws for us? Listen very closely to how Jesus phrases these statements. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the peacemakers. Jesus is describing a certain kind of people. The meek are blessed. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness are blessed. These words are primarily descriptive, not prescriptive. His focus isn't telling us to act a certain way. He is describing instead a certain kind of people, describing people that already are a certain way. Now, if we are to consider ourselves as the blessed ones that Jesus is speaking about, then we probably should be asking ourselves, do these descriptions sound like us? Are we always meek? Probably not. Are we always the peacemakers? Doubtful. Are we always pure in heart? I would say no. As we look down the list of descriptions, we have to admit that they are not always very descriptive of us, our attitudes. We certainly can read them as law, as showing us our sinfulness. If what Jesus says is how people are to be, and we look at ourselves, there's a bit of a gap. But these descriptions do perfectly describe one person. Each item in the list does describe our Lord Jesus. He was poor in terms of both human wealth and poor in spirit, in the sense that he cast away all the spiritual things that he had enjoyed in heaven and was born in a stable. He mourned for those who rejected him. He was meek, allowing himself to be arrested, tortured, executed. He hungered and thirsted for the righteousness of his people. He was merciful to all, even to those who showed him no mercy. And he is the peacemaker between us and God. He was pure in thought, word, and deed. Certainly, above all, he was persecuted and reviled for coming from God, for claiming to be God, which of course in his case was no lie. The powers of this world relied on false accusations to convict him of crimes. Really, these words that Jesus is speaking describe himself. So where does that leave us? The joy then of these words for us is that because they describe Jesus, they in fact do describe us. According to our old sinful nature, we are not meek or merciful nor pure in heart, but now through our baptisms, we've had our lives united with Jesus' life, intertwined with his life, if you will. And on account of that, God gives to us, he imputes to us, is the fancy theological term, he gives to us Christ's righteousness. We are counted as righteous because Christ was righteous. And now we Christians make up the body of Christ, the church. That's not just some metaphorical way of God talking to us. We are really acting on behalf of Christ in this world, in this place. Those times when we are peacemakers, we are pointing to the true peacemaker. As we are pure in heart, we reflect, not perfectly, the purity of Jesus. When we suffer for doing what we should, when we are mistreated simply because we're Christians, this is because Jesus was reviled and because he suffered. But look at the promises here. Jesus tells you, yours is the kingdom of heaven. You who mourn shall be comforted. You shall inherit the earth. You shall be satisfied. You shall receive mercy in your flesh. You shall see God. You are called children of God, even as John reminds us in our epistle lesson. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. And that brings us to this somewhat similar sounding verse from Revelation 14. John writes, I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. You see that? Instead of blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the dead. This beatitude, if you will, from Revelation goes hand in hand with our Lord's words from our gospel lesson, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. In our gospel lesson from Matthew, Jesus is describing his people now in this life and what their reward will be in heaven. Yes, we are comforted now. Yes, we are shown mercy now. Yes, we are children of God even now. But all these promises reach their fulfillment when we die or when our Lord returns. And here in Revelation, John is describing that culmination of who we are as God's people, the culmination of our being blessed. Those who die in the Lord are blessed forever, resting from their labors, from the burdens of this life, no longer tormented by the sinful flesh that still plagues us, no longer burdened by the assaults of the devil and the sinful world. The saints in heaven are perfectly pure, no true mercy, and fully at peace. The hunger and the thirst for righteousness that was fed by the Lord's body and blood from the altar is now perfectly satisfied in heaven. The rebuke and reviling they suffered for the name of Christ in this life, the great tribulation, is replaced with eternal life in the presence of our Savior. And on the last day, when all of God's people receive new, glorified, perfect bodies, we will see them, and we with them will see our Lord face to face in our flesh with these eyes. So what is this day? What is this All Saints Day all about? It's a day that may invoke some sadness as we remember those whom we loved who died in the Lord, but it is also a day of comfort. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted, Jesus says. It is a day to be reminded that the dead in Christ shine in glory with him, that they are blessed. For them there is no suffering or pain or tears. They wear the white robes of their baptisms forever, the same white robes that we wear even now. It is also a day when we thank God for their lives among us. God has blessed us through those saints whom he has now called to himself. No doubt you are Christian because of the many who have come before you who have died in the Lord. Did you hear the words at the end of that Revelation verse about those who die in the Lord? For their deeds follow them. Those good works that the faithful, that the saints did in this life, they do not point to themselves, but they point to Christ. Their good deeds done in faithful service to the Lord have impacted you. The examples of the lives of the saints, whether they be St. Peter or St. Paul or St. John, or the martyrs of early Christianity, or those who gave us the hymns in our hymnal, or those who translated scripture for us, or those saints who gave us the Book of Concord, or those saints who raised you, or those saints who were your pastors, or those saints who taught your Sunday school classes, or those saints who just simply invited you to church or told you about the Lord, that their deeds follow them is evidenced by your being a Christian. And this day serves as a reminder that we, like those who have gone before us, will also one day die and receive the blessings that they have received in Christ. And so we pray that God would use us as he used those saints, that he would use us to show mercy, his peace, that we would not grow weary of seeking righteousness, that we would stand up to the assaults of Satan in this world, Satan who would try to tear us away from the love and mercy of God. And we pray that God would keep us in that faith and would deliver us into the eternal arms of our Heavenly Father, reunited with those who have gone before. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this: blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.